Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about Hotspot Clicker and its use with the JAWS screen reader. We'll meet Phil Muir, who's developed many HSC or Hotspot Clicker sets. We'll talk about what they are, how you use them, and how you too can develop them for your own personal use. We'd like to start by welcoming our newest listeners. We've been picked up by WKAR Radio Reading Service in East Lansing, Michigan. They just started broadcasting Viewpoints in August 2011, so welcome. They join listeners of the Canadian Reading Service called VoicePrint, Maine Airs from Brewer, Maine, WJCT Radio Reading Service from Jacksonville, Florida, Radio Talking Book in Omaha, Nebraska, as well as our home audience of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York.
Welcome, everyone.
We'd also like to say hello to those people from all over the world who listen to the podcasts. So far, we've heard from listeners in Australia, England, Egypt, and all around the U.S. If you listen over another radio reading service, please let us know. You can contact us by sending an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call area code 585-258-0333. Now let's turn to our tip of the week. This week's tip is check out the Hotspot Clicker utilities. If you use a screen reader and have difficulty navigating and using graphical applications, the Hotspot Clicker utilities may be able to help you. This free tool can be used to create your own Hotspot Clicker or HSC set for a particular application. Little or no programming may be required to develop custom HSC sets, depending on what your specific needs are. In addition, a number of HSC sets have already been developed by others who are very willing to share them. So, why would you want a Hotspot Clicker?
Well, as you know, JAWS and many screen readers capture mostly the text-based elements on the screen. They can't deal really with graphic elements. Besides, sometimes just if you know what a graphic is ahead of time, you can label the graphic with a particular label or a text sound or something like that. But a lot of these graphics-based programs rely on different things happening to the colors of the graphics, different elements changing on the page that a screen reader may not recognize because some text does not necessarily change. So the Hotspot Clicker sets were a set of actually JAWS scripts that someone put together that help you develop some tools and templates for dealing with applications that are primarily or mainly graphical in nature. And it helps you navigate around to these various graphical elements to see what they're doing. And then you can have your PC take different actions based on the location of these graphical elements and what their status is at the time. So we'll explain a little bit of that in detail in the rest of the show here, because a little bit of that is kind of fuzzy without seeing some real examples. But you'll see how useful this can be and how you can use these Hotspot Clicker utilities to develop your own tools for working with these graphical applications.
It seems to me we've been walking a slow path, laughing in the breeze.
Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Phil Muir, who's written some very useful Hotspot Clickers. As a matter of fact, that was Phil singing a song he wrote and produced by himself. All of the tracks were recorded in Sonar with him playing all the instruments, including Superior Drummer 2, and him and his wife Sarah performing the vocals. And you'll be learning more about how he was able to make that happen as we go through the show. So let's meet Phil for real.
My name is Phil Muir, and I live in the UK. I live about 100 miles southwest of London, and I work as a consultant. I do a bit of training visually impaired people in software, use of JAWS, that sort of thing, etc. Specifically more geared towards music technology products. So we've gone out and trained people with using Sonar and SoundForge and applications like that. And I also work as a musician and go out and play gigs with my wife. We do go out as a duo, and we do everything from 50s through to present day. So everything from sort of Chuck Berry through to you know, sort of Johnny B. Goode through to your kind of more up to date stuff. Fairly broad range stuff that we do, really. I play keyboards, bass, guitars. Also do drum programming. So when we make up the backing tracks here, the instrumentation is all played in live, and we use Superior Drummer to do the drums, and those are very, very good drum samples. So if you program them up right, then it sounds fine.
I originally was introduced to Phil over one of the distribution lists that I mentioned in previous shows, MIDIMAG list, MIDIMAG.org, to subscribe, which is essentially an email list for blind musicians who are into audio and MIDI production and things like that. And just to describe a little bit what Phil talks about backing tracks, what these are is a lot of musicians will go out and they'll play the lead instrument or maybe an instrument or two, but then they'll have some audio tracks in the background that include maybe the bass or drums, but they don't actually have a bass and drums there at their concert. These are audio tracks produced ahead of time with some music production software.
Phil never even had a drum set in the studio. It's all digital.
Right. I was going to say that Phil talks a little bit about Superior Drummer, and he'll talk a little bit more about that later, but essentially what that is it's a software tool to generate these drum rhythms automatically. In fact, you hear that in a lot of modern music these days, and you know, sometimes you have a difficulty telling them from the real thing.
So I guess Phil mentioned that his wife Sarah sings and plays with him, and she's apparently quite talented also.
She's pretty talented too. She plays keyboards, guitars, but probably keyboards is her primary instrument, whereas guitars would be my kind of primary instrument. We both sing as well, and of course, the other thing I have to do, because we go out as a duo, is I have to manage all the websites and do all of that and edit the video. And that's good fun. It's been a challenge to figure out a way of editing video, but it's been good fun.
Well, maybe someday we'll have to do a show on blind people editing video.
That would be fun. But if you want to hear more of them playing besides the couple of little clips that we're including in this show, you can go to
www.demuirs.com.
Phil's been blind since birth, although Sarah can see, and he'll be talking about how they work that out.
I went to the Royal Blind School in Edinburgh, which was, I'm happy to say, because you hear lots of scary stories about people going to schools like that and they're not great, but I'm happy to report my school and my schooling was excellent. Went there from about 4.5 till I was about 18, 19, something like that. And I really liked it, because the good thing that they did there was that they said it was very much an attitude of, you're blind, so what, you know, get on with it. Which was good, because it meant, you know, they didn't make any excuses for anybody and they didn't kind of allow you not to do stuff. In fact, they were the complete opposite. They were like, well, we want to encourage you to do all you can, and they gave us, you know, let us experience lots of good things as well. So it was good, a good time.
You are listening to Viewpoints. 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is hotspot clicker sets, what they are and how you use them. We introduced the topic very briefly at the beginning of this show, but now we're going to get into some detail.
So just to reiterate, some of the reasons you might want to take advantage of the hotspot clicker sets and utilities. So as you know, screen readers like JAWS, WindowEyes, NVDA, they take advantage of text-based elements on the screen, but they don't really understand what the graphic elements are unless you tell them what they are. So for applications that have a lot of graphics that are changing, or the graphics is very integral to the application, the screen readers aren't going to be very helpful out of the box. The other place where hotspot clickers can be useful is a lot of these applications, for example, screen readers rely on the standard Windows navigation commands, like hitting tab to get to another element or using the arrow keys to get to another control and things like that. Well, some applications that are graphical in nature, I mean, as Nancy can testify to, I sometimes have to ask her to use the mouse to get to these things because there's no keyboard navigation way of getting there. So the hotspot clicker sets can also be useful for applications where that is an issue. The other thing that's interesting is that in a lot of these applications, the colors that are on the screen can make a difference to what kind of actions might be available to the user of the application. For example, you might have a button that turns red when there's some particular action you can do, or green or yellow, and so you need to know what the colors are, and you'd really like to know automatically, even though you can query those things in JAWS or Window Eyes, you'd like to have that happen automatically. And then finally, on different locations on the screen, it's often position dependent, you want to take different actions with your application. So for instance, you may want to go to a certain location, you may want to click the mouse and then do some other things, read some other text field on the screen to give you some feedback or to run some particular script. So again, the hotspots clicker sets can be used to generate these particular actions at particular locations on the screens. So there are a variety of reasons why you might want to use these utilities, and we'll be talking about some of these as we go along.
And here's Phil describing exactly what a hotspot clicker is.
Hotspot Clicker is a free set of JAWS scripts that anybody can download from the Hotspot Clicker website, www.hotspotclicker.org, and you then run the installer, install it, and that's it. Hotspot Clicker is basically a way to set up keyboard support or get the mouse to do things on screen in an accessible way so that when the end user uses it, they can just kind of use what I've created. So let's say you've got an application that is completely inaccessible, then you can find things on screen and then you can tell Hotspot Clicker what to do. So for example, if you had a menu on screen, you could tell Hotspot Clicker to assign a mouse action to that, which would then cause the menu to open, and then you could, you know, set up a tab order. So if you were in a window that didn't have a tab order that was accessible, then you could create one. Or if you wanted certain things spoken in a window, you can do that as well. So it's pretty diverse, all the stuff you can actually do with this thing. It's amazing. If you've got what they call HSC sets, which are kind of these little, almost like text files that the scripts create, if you've got those integrated into your application, then you can access parts of your application that you previously couldn't.
HSC sets can be used for any program. Phil's been working primarily with Sonar, which is a music production program for amateurs and professionals.
Sonar is a multi-track recording software, basically. It's a sequencer, and you can record MIDI and audio in Sonar. My primary reason for doing Hotspot Clicker sets was because I got frustrated with bits of Sonar that I couldn't use. So I'd find a really cool plugin or something and I think, oh, that's really neat. And then I think, well, I can't access it. Why didn't the developers do that? Why didn't they put in keyboard support or something like that? So I was then kind of driven to create support for it.
So Phil talked a little bit there about plugins and effects, and just so other people who aren't into the Sonar and audio production programs like that, what these are the plugins are essentially little utilities or programs that can be inserted into the program to be used with the programs. These plugins might include such things as different kinds of processing you can do to the audio. They may include software synthesizers, so you don't actually have to have a hardware keyboard synthesizer to make sound, but there's software in the computer that'll make different piano sounds or flute sounds or different instruments and drums and things like that. And then he also talks about the effects. The effects are also other applications, sometimes from third parties, that you can insert into the audio production chain that allow you to do things like add some fancy reverb or equalization effects, compression, and there are all kinds of effects like that. So what Phil has essentially done was taken many of these effects that come with Sonar or that you can purchase with Sonar, and he's developed hotspot clicker sets for each of these plugins and effects that enable the JAWS user to use these plugins and effects with JAWS effectively. Otherwise, they would be difficult or maybe even impossible to use.
I've done a lot of plugins. I don't know how many I've done. I've done audio plugins, and I've also done what they call software synthesizers, which is basically like a MIDI soft synth. So it's like a MIDI synthesizer. So I've done quite a lot of those as well. And my primary reason for doing it was because I got frustrated going into these plugins. I'd start to try and use them, and I think, well, I can't use this. There's no keyboard support, you know. So that was my primary reason for doing it. And yeah, we've done quite a lot now, and we've done some kind of funky stuff with it as well. We've been able to do things like create sets where you can look at a button and you can tell the status of it by the color on screen. So what you can do is, through scripting, you can say, you know, if JAWS sees this color, then the button's on. If it sees this color, the button's off. You can do some interesting things with color detection on sliders, although personally I've never been able to get those to work with color detection. But having said that, in a lot of cases, if you can bring focus to the slider, then you can move the slider, because there's keyboard support for the slider, but there's not keyboard support to get you to the slider, if you see what I mean. We've also done things where you've got, let's say you've got a plugin that's got a multiple tab, but in order to get into a particular part of the window, you first need to click on this other part of the window first. So a lot of this stuff is going on behind the scenes. The user isn't aware of it. They're just kind of using it and using the scripts, which is really cool.
Phil specifically uses Sonar for creating his backing tracks, and more particularly the drum effects.
I put backing tracks together because I go out with my wife doing music stuff. And so we're very interested in looking at some products by a company called TuneTrack. This guy gave me a contact, and I just said to this guy, look, I think I can make your software accessible, but I'm not going to promise I can do anything, but we'll give it a try. Now, for a lot of those TuneTrack products, I did need to get Sighted Help for that, and that's why we did charge, because Sarah spent quite a lot of time helping me do those. There's a couple of products that I sell, one being Easy Drummer, which is a cut down version, if you like, of the main product that TuneTrack sell, which is Superior Drummer. And so I use Superior Drummer 2 in all my recording now. It's such good drum software. It sounds amazing. I mean, you program this thing up right and you really can't tell if it's a drummer or not. If it's you know, it just sounds so good. In fact, I actually know of drummers who are using this and not even bothering to mic up drum kits anymore, because it sounds so good. They're just using electronic kits and plugging those into their computer and playing that.
It certainly makes it a lot easier than hauling around all the equipment needed for a drummer. But anyway, a lot of us using these Sonar tools and HSC sets owe a big thanks to Phil, including myself, because these really do make these programs accessible to blind musicians and people who are into audio production.
It's funny, actually, because somebody said to me a while ago, when they'd seen all the stuff I'd done, they said, it was a friend of mine, Herman Furman. He said, oh, so if you've done all these hotspot clicker sets, then you must have used them a lot. And I said, well, no, I haven't, because I spent so much time developing them and working on them that I'd really never got around to using them much. And then I kind of drew back from that and haven't done so much development stuff for quite some time now. And it's been a real joy for me to actually use the sets. Kind of, I'm kind of using that and thinking, oh, that's really cool. Because, you know, kind of enjoying it and thinking, oh, I'm glad somebody did this. You know. The whole bad
That was Phil again with his wife Sarah on lead vocals. So now in our high-tech component of the show, we'll be talking about just how are these hotspot clicker sets created. Creating a hotspot clicker set can require some special skills, and we asked Phil what he had to learn in order to do it.
I had to trawl through the manual, and if anybody's read the hotspot clicker manual, it's quite
It's quite a read. It really is. So I did that. But I mean, I do have a little bit of a background in programming. I wouldn't say I'm much of a programmer in the sense that I don't find it that easy, but it certainly helps to understand programming. Because as you can imagine, when you create these things, you have to think, well, what's the best way of doing this for the end user? What's going to work for them? And you know, it's like a different mindset, really. I did a computer qualification, and I could go off and do a degree in computing or something off the back of that, because I scored pretty well on that one. But I don't know if I'd want to do it, really. I mean, I don't mind doing developmental stuff, but primarily my heart is in music, really. That's what I love doing. That's why we're doing the gigs and playing at the functions and weddings and all that, because music is really what I love doing. You know, developmental stuff can kill you, really. It really can. And you need to kind of get away from that sometimes. And just to mention as well, while I remember that not only did we create the actual sets, the sets all have written help for them as well, because we really felt that was important to integrate help for them. And I think that's important. You need to have help files for things. So all of these sets ship with help as well.
So Phil talked about creating these hotspot clicker sets. And, you know, often you can do a lot of this yourself as a JAWS user without seeing the screen. If you're very persistent, you take some time and click around the screen and see what happens, what kind of feedback you get, or what kinds of things may happen to the application based on your clicking around the screen and moving around. But that's sometimes very inefficient and sometimes almost impossible to do with some applications. So often it does require some sighted assistance to help you navigate around the screen, know where you're clicking, what colors are what, and what actions might want to be taken.
Some applications, you go in there and you can't see anything at all with JAWS due to the nature of how the developers actually put the application together. So the actual the graphical interface can be written to the screen in such a way sometimes that you can't actually see anything on the screen. So although the information is there, what the developer's actually done is they've used a bitmap image, and they've actually, you know, written the information to the bitmap image. And unfortunately, in that case, as a blind person, you're not going to easily be able to locate anything on screen. But having said that, in some instances, if you can get some sighted help, then it's fairly possible that you may be able to do something. But it's really going to depend on how the information has been rendered to the screen. And there are some situations where no matter what you do, even if you get sighted help, as good as Hotspot Clicker is, it still won't do anything for you, because the developer has put the information on the screen in such a way that, for example, you could click a menu open, but you can't actually see anything in the menu. So yes, you might have been able to open the menu, but you can't read anything, so it's not actually useful.
Phil was instrumental in creating an awful lot of Hotspot Clicker sets, but he's not the only person responsible for these great tools, and he wanted to acknowledge some of them.
I really do want to thank Jim Snowbarger publicly again for actually writing Hotspot Clicker. And he still continues to develop that. And he doesn't charge anything for that. But I would encourage any of you who are enjoying using the sets, please, guys, you know, go drop some money in his PayPal jar, because he spent thousands of hours on this thing. You know, and sometimes I'll find a bug and say, well, this isn't doing this and it should be doing that. And he's like, well, you know, he'll spend hours looking at that as well. And I just want to thank Jim. Jim's a really neat guy. He's also, as far as I'm aware, totally blind as well. And, you know, without Jim doing this, we wouldn't have the Hotspot Clicker set. So thank you, Jim. It's incredible, isn't it? When you think about, you know, here's Jim doing this in the States. And then we've got Jeff Chapman in Australia. Some years ago, He'd actually created one of these things, and he kept saying to me, you need to look at this. And I was a bit like dismissive. I was a bit like, yeah, whatever, Jeff. But eventually I did look at what he'd done, and he'd done a tremendous job with this application. If there's a bug found, then Jim and Jeff and Tim Burgess, who's another good friend of mine from the UK, might look at some of that. And but other people come in too. There's a guy called JPR, Jean-Philippe, in France, who contacted me recently about some work I'd done on the Superior Drummer stuff. And he said, hey, I looked at your code and I noticed that in order to get these windows to work, you'd had to keep copying this code so it would open, make sure to open this window and that window. And couldn't we just re-rig Hotspot Clicker so that it could, you could tie this scripting to one particular piece of code that would just kind of do that function when it's called? And I thought, that's such a neat idea. But when that's actually put in place, it will mean that the sets will work a lot faster because we won't have to put lots of, you know, recalling the same bit of opening the same windows again and again and again before executing something. So it'll actually run a lot quicker and the actual sets will be a lot smaller as well.
It's amazing what groups of people placed around the world can do when they sort of share their knowledge and expertise with each other and work on these related projects. So you really owe a lot of those folks a big thanks.
So if you want more information, I know through the show we and Phil have been mentioning web addresses for places you can go, but we thought we'd repeat them here. There's hotspotclicker.org, that's all one word, where you can find a quick start guide, some actual Hotspot Clicker sets for various applications. There's a podcast on how to install it and import HSC sets for Sonar 6. And there's even a podcast on using HSC sets by Jim Snowbarger, who first created it. Another place you can go is to Phil Muir's website that he maintains. I think he mentioned that he does a lot of accessibility training. Well, not surprising, that's the name of his website. But, you know, he's in the UK, so the extension at the end is different from what you might expect in the United States. It's www.accessibilitytraining, all one word, .co.uk. And from there, you can follow links very easily for free music technology resources. And that's where he has the Hotspot Clicker sets that he's developed. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about knowing what you're eating. If you can't read what's on a package, it's hard to know what's inside. We'll discuss several software and hardware options you can use to identify food, health and beauty products, and many other items. They even provide nutrition data, ingredients, directions, and lots of other useful information. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.